honor you. We sing your praises with the angels of heaven. Glory is the name of the Lord God Almighty. Glory is his name. All things are in Christ's name. Amen.
Okay, thank you, Chris, for that presentation. I think the message was very clear that the evidence does support creation and not evolution, despite what the secular scientists may say. While you think of a question, we're just going to take one or two, but we're going to have the men come up. And of course, we support this ministry through free will offerings. And for those of you that would like to get a tax-free and a record for your tax purposes, you can either do a check or you can put it in an envelope. And there's a donation box back there as well. So whatever you're comfortable doing, we can do. So let's take just one or two short questions, and then we'll be dismissed to go to the resource tables and enjoy the refreshments. Yeah.
What mechanism do they say that occurs by? Because normal evolution, you think of small changes over time. So what do they think is causing these explosions of new fully formed?
I'm not sure that they actually have a mechanism for the Cambrian explosion. Why so many appeared so suddenly at that moment in time? Conditions were just right. In general, fossils appearing fully formed, they would argue, is the result of the fact that fossilization requires some kind of unique circumstances. The norm is decomposition. That's the cycle of life. You have producers or consumers or decomposers. You have to have decomposition taking place for the previous generation to be available to the next generation. And decomposition is a sure process. It's inescapable unless you have some kind of extraordinary circumstance take place. Something massive, some kind of massive underwater landslide just happens to bury everything so suddenly that it's not able to decompose. It requires extraordinary circumstances to arrest decomposition and have fossilization take place. So just the improbability of it, I guess, argues in that favor a bit.
Okay, well, one more question, if somebody has a question. Chris will be available after the lecture course finishes, and you can always quiz him in the back here, too. Oh.
Make it an easy one, man.
How did those mudslides, kind of like those underwater tsunami things happen? How did they come? What are they caused by?
Well, just like landslides happen above ground, these are just landslides that happen below ground. Ultimately, the whole mass is drawn by gravity. So all of these materials are under a gravitational pull at all times. All it takes is some destabilizing event to cause the whole thing to break loose and want to slide down to a lower elevation. So, So little trees to hold it in place. A little bit of an earthquake, perhaps, to get the whole thing moving and sliding. But, but even think about avalanches. It doesn't take much to get that whole mass to start sliding. And once it starts sliding, it kind of is a cascading event. One thing up here starts moving, and next thing you know, it causes the thing below it to start moving. Next thing you know, you got a whole massive hillslide breaking loose. There you go. House cars, that's a good one.
One more.
So in the fossil record, there's very few, apparently, human remains, that type of thing, because humans floated and decomposed. Is that what happened?
I think basically. You got to remember that two things have to happen for fossilization to take place. One is buried by sediment. And so any animal or human that stayed alive till the very end of the flood wouldn't have been trapped by these underwater landslides or above ground landslides. You had to be buried by sediments first. But there's still a bit of puzzlement there. expect to find civilizations? If our timeline's correct, the flood occurred about 1,500 years after the creation or so. I don't remember the exact Usher's chronology, what the exact 1456 or something. Anyone got the number? None of you. It's about 1,500 years after the creation. There were civilizations. You could argue that would they have built the kind of dwellings that we have today if the Earth's environment was much more perfect? You know, protecting yourselves from the elements wouldn't have been as necessary to build buildings. But there was a lot of sin, a lot of violence. One of the other reasons why we build things is to protect us from the violence of other civilizations. It seems reasonable to assume that civilizations would be found. One of the things we got to keep in mind is just how little of the fossil record we've actually exposed. I mean, most of our knowledge of fossils comes from either one of two places. Natural cross cuttings, you know, Grand Canyon is, whatever happened there to carve out that vast canyon has provided us with an excellent laboratory. We come to the side of it and study what's up the side of this great canyon, or whenever we build like highways or tunnels, they're frequent to stop or call in geologists and have them with them as they're doing these kind of work. But in reality, you know, good grief, how much of the fossil record have we actually exposed? Do we expect to eventually find human fossils or even, that would be cool. You know, I would think that they have to be down there someplace, but likely we just haven't exposed them. Would it have been destroyed completely by the flood? All the constructions that were built out of sedimentary rocks are post-flood. So Egyptian monuments, all these, anything that was built out of sedimentary rock, that's all post-flood. So what would they have built out of before the flood? Wood structures, I'm assuming. How well would that have survived an event like this? Not well, you know, not well. So,
but. Okay, so we'll end the questioning there. And Chris, again, thank you for the presentation. And he'll be available after to answer some more of your questions. But just quickly, let me wrap up. Back to the first slide. Remember, all these next events until March 24th, which is our regular meeting, all of these events are at a different location. You know, don't come here next on Friday the 10th. It's not here. It's at First Baptist Church. First Baptist Church on Saturday, and then Saturday evening it's at the Calvary Chapel in Marysville. So remember that. And also remind you of the Is Genesis History movie. We believe it's going to be reshown again next Thursday, March the 2nd, and that should appear on their website. It'll also be on our website when I have all that information. Just look to see which theaters it's playing in again. It was very, very well received, very well done. And just for those of you who don't know, it was run by Del Tackett, who is also the producer of the Truth Project. Did a great job there. He did a great job here. And he had about 10 scientists, all with PhDs in different disciplines of science, covering all the things that came up, the kinds of questions people would have in relating Genesis 1 to 11 to what we see today. Very, very well done. Okay, on to 7. Again, who is this guy, Jonathan Sarfati? Well, he's a smart guy, smart cookie, I call him. Not only a great speaker, he's a scientist with a doctorate in physical chemistry. And you can see his bio. He's been involved in creation ministry for more than 20 years, a very strong defender of the biblical creation model. These are some of the books he's written. They're on the page on the right there. And what I want to mention that is not on that list there is the Refuting Evolution number 1. Actually, they sold more than 500,000 copies of that book. Very, very received. It refutes evolution. So anyway, all those things that he's done, he is also known, well, he was chess champion of New Zealand at a very early age. And when he comes to some of these conferences, he actually plays chess against about 10 different players. Now, and not just that, he does this blindfolded, believe it or not. Blindfolded, he played 10 different players. I've never seen him lose a match yet. And so I like playing chess, but I don't think I would challenge him. next one. Next month, our regular meeting, Friday, March the 24th, you know, Chris spoke about Mount St. Helens, the devastation of Mount St. Helens. Well, how did Mount St. Helens recover so quickly? Well, that's going to be answered by this Dr. Keith Simpson, who was president of the Digital Science Association, which is another apologetics forum down in the Portland area. And he's very knowledgeable about what happens, what has happened in Mount St. Helens. So you'll want to come to see that as well. And that'll be next month, next the fourth Friday of the month, our regular meeting time. So with that, I'm going to close. All of the, there's flyers announcing the different events. There are brochures there. There are trifolds. We talk about the apologetics forum and also discuss this class coming up, which is the one on Christian Educators Conference. So if you have an interest to get involved in teaching and learning how to do that, you'll pick up one of those folders there. And take that one-page flyer, if you would, and see if your church wouldn't be willing to post that on their church boards so they make people aware of this as available, the availability of that class as well. So let me just close up in a word of prayer, and then you'll be dismissed. Father, we thank you for this time together. We thank you for the message that you gave through Chris here. Lots of details, but they're all very supportive of the biblical view of creation and not of evolution. And we just thank you that you have given us the evidence, that you've given us that record that we can believe, and we can believe your word. And we just thank you for that. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.